Chapter 1. James Mortimer Comes to Baker Street. Mr. Sherlock Holmes was at the breakfast table. I was by the fire. I had a walking stick in my hand. It was a stranger's stick. Yesterday, a stranger came to the house when Holmes and I were out. The stranger left his stick. There was some writing on it. To James Mortimer, MRCS, from his friends of the CCH, 1884.
Whose is the stick, Watson?
But you can't see me. How do you know what I'm doing?
I can see your reflection in the window, said Holmes. But tell me, Watson, what do you think of our visitor? We didn't meet him, so his stick is an important clue for us. What do you think?
I think, I said, that Mortimer is a successful doctor. I know that from the letters MRCS. Only a doctor can use those letters. He's quite old, and he's probably a country doctor. He walks a lot, because I can see that Dr. Mortimer uses this stick a lot.
Excellent, said Holmes.
Then we have Friends of the CCH. A club, I think. Perhaps he helped them and they gave him the stick.
Congratulations, Watson. However, Holmes continued, I'm sorry, but most of your ideas are wrong.
Wrong?
Well, he's a country doctor and he walks a lot, you're right. But I think the CCH is probably Charing Cross Hospital, not a club. I also think he's a young doctor. He left the hospital and went to work in the country. The stick was a present when he left the hospital. Then, of course, he has a dog. Look at the stick. His dog carries it.
I laughed. I looked in my medical dictionary. Here he is, Mortimer James, MRCS 1882, Grimpen, Dartmoor, Devon. Doctor from 1882 to 1884 at Charing Cross Hospital.
See, Watson? A hospital, not a club. But you're right, he's a country doctor.
And the dog?
The dog is black and white.
But Holmes, please, how can you possibly know that?
Well, I can see the dog outside the window. And here is Dr. Mortimer now. But what does he want?
Come in.
Our visitor was tall and thin, with a long nose. He wore glasses. He was very happy to see us, and very happy to see his stick.
Thank you, he said, as Holmes gave him his stick. And this was a present when I left Charing Cross Hospital. Are you Mr. Sherlock Holmes?
Yes, and this is my friend Dr. Watson.
I'm very pleased to meet you. You are very interesting. You have a very beautiful skull. You have an excellent dolichocephalic skull.
Dolichocephalic? That's a very interesting word. You know a lot about skulls.
You clearly love your work, said Holmes.
Please, sit down. So, why did you come here yesterday? Why are you here again today? You didn't come to look at my skull, I'm sure.
No, I have an interesting problem and I need your help. I've got a document in my pocket.
I saw it when you came in, said Holmes. It's an old one, probably about 1730.
But how do you know that?
You love your work and I love mine. All good detectives can look at a document and give it a date. Am I right? To 10 or 15 years?
Yes. The date on the document is 1742. It's a Baskerville family document. My friend and patient, Charles Baskerville, gave it to me before he died. He wanted me to look after it. This document was very important to him. He was very superstitious. It's about the curse of the Baskerville family. Can I read it to you?"
Holmes sat back in his chair and closed his eyes. He looked bored. Dr. Mortimer began.
"Baskerville Hall, 1742. To all Baskervilles. Read this story carefully. Do what it says. This happened in 1647, when Hugo Baskerville lived at Baskerville Hall. He was a very bad man. One day, he kidnapped a young girl from her home. He took her to a room upstairs, but she escaped. She ran out of the house and ran across the moor. Hugo was very angry. He followed her with his dogs. His friends followed too, but Hugo was very fast. When Hugo's friends found the girl, she was dead. They saw Hugo's dogs and they saw Hugo's body. He was dead too. His friends also saw a large black animal in the distance. It was the killer. It was a dog, but it wasn't an ordinary dog. It was a strange and terrible hound. Many of our family die in strange and terrible ways. This hound follows the Baskerville family. This is why I'm writing this story. I must tell you, never go out on the moor at night."
Dr. Mortimer finished the story. Then Dr. Mortimer took out a newspaper report from his pocket. Holmes looked bored again.
"Now, Mr. Holmes, here is something from the Dartmoor Chronicle of May the 14th this year. It's about Charles Baskerville and the story of his death. Sir Charles Baskerville, from Baskerville Hall, died on May the 4th. He only lived here for 2 years, but people liked him very much. He worked in South Africa, made a lot of money, and then he returned to Devon. He helped a lot of people here. People are talking about the curse of the Baskervilles and the story of the hound, but the facts are simple. His servants, Mr. and Mrs. Barrymore, and his doctor, Dr. James Mortimer, all say that he had a weak heart. The post-mortem showed that this was true. Barrymore told our journalist about the night of May the 4th. Sir Charles wanted to go to London on the morning of May the 5th. After dinner, he went for a walk. He always went out before bed to smoke. He didn't return. At 12 o'clock, I was worried, so I went to look for Sir Charles. I followed his footprints. There were a lot of footprints by the gate to the moor. Then the footprints went to the end of the path. There is one strange fact from Barrymore's story. After the moor gate, the footprints were different. Sir Charles walked on tiptoe. Sir Charles's relative, Mr. Henry Baskerville, is in Canada. All of us at the Dartmoor Chronicle hope to see him here soon. We hope he can continue Sir Charles's good work."
Dr. Mortimer put the newspaper back in his pocket.
"Those facts are public, Mr. Holmes. There are other facts, too. Not many people live on the moor. The houses are all quite far apart. The only educated men are Mr. Frankland of Laughter Hall and Mr. Stapleton. He's a naturalist. But the people who live near each other spend a lot of time together. I spent a lot of time with Sir Charles. His stories about South Africa were very interesting. I was also his doctor. He believed in the curse of the Hound of the Baskervilles. He was terrified of it. He often heard the howl of a dog at night. One evening, I went to his house. When I arrived, I saw him at the door. His face was white. He looked terrified. I followed his eyes and saw a large black animal. It was the size of a small cow. I saw it clearly. It was something bad, something supernatural. Sir Charles's fear of the family curse was bad for him. I suggested a very long visit to London. He needed to rest. On the night of Sir Charles's death, Barrymore called me. I also followed the footprints down the path. I saw Barrymore's footprints too. Then, near the body, I saw other footprints. Barrymore didn't see them, but I did.
"Were they a man's footprints or a woman's?" said Holmes.
Dr. Mortimer spoke very quietly. "Mr. Holmes, they were the footprints of a gigantic hound."
"Why didn't Barrymore see the footprints?"
"They weren't near the body."
"What was the weather like that night?"
"It was cold, but it didn't rain."
"Can you describe the path?"
"There are trees on each side. There is a gate on the left of the path. It goes out to the moor."
"So, can you only get to the path from the house or from the gate?"
"Yes."
"I see. Were the footprints on the left of the path, too?"
"Yes, they were."
"Very interesting. And was the gate closed? And is it very high?"
"Yes, it was closed and locked. But it's not very high. It's easy to climb over it."
"Did you see any footprints by the gate?"
"I'm not sure. I think I only saw Sir Charles's footprints. There were a lot of them. I know he was there for about 10 minutes.
"How do you know that?"
"There was a match and part of a cigarette. He smoked a cigarette there."
"Excellent. Congratulations. You're a detective too. So, you want me to investigate Sir Charles's death?"
"Not really. I think Sir Charles died of fright. My problem is with Sir Henry Baskerville. He arrives at Waterloo Station at 1 o'clock today. He's the only heir to Baskerville Hall. I think he wants to go to the Hall, but I don't think the Hall is safe for him. I don't know what to do."
"Go to Waterloo Station. Meet Henry Baskerville and take him to his hotel. I need time to think about this. Come here tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Bring Sir Henry with you. But before you go, one more question. Before Sir Charles's death, how many people saw this hound on the moor?"
3 people saw it."
"Did anyone see it after Sir Charles died?"
"No."
"Thank you, Dr. Mortimer. Good morning."
Holmes returned to his chair. He looked pleased about this new case.
"I need time alone. I need to think, Watson. Can you go out until this evening? Then we can talk about this case together."
"I spent the day at my club. I returned at about 9 o'clock.
"So, you went to your club for the day?"
"Yes, but how?"
He laughed.
"Elementary, Watson. It rained all morning and all afternoon. You're completely dry. Look, your hat and your shoes are dry.
So it's clear that you spent the day inside. As for me, I studied this map of Dartmoor all afternoon." He put the map on the table and showed me.
"This is Baskerville Hall. Can you see the trees around it? And this is the path where Sir Charles died. This is the village of Grimpen. That's where Dr. Mortimer lives. Here is Laughter Hall. Mr. Franklin lives there. And this is probably Mr. Stapleton's house. You can see that they are all quite far apart. Over here there are some farmhouses. Then here, 14 miles away, is Princetown Prison. All around, there's the moor."
"It's a lonely place. Do you think Dr. Mortimer is right, Holmes? Do you think the hound is a supernatural animal?"
"And Dr. Mortimer thinks that it's supernatural.
He believes the family curse.
I believe in facts, Watson, not stories. Our first job is to look for the facts. Did Sir Charles die because of his heart? Or did someone kill him?